Hallelujah. Are you ready to soar like an eagle? Hallelujah. Well, I tell you, there is nothing greater than having a new life experience in Christ and allowing God to scoop you up. Hallelujah. Boy, we learned everything there is to know about eagles. Almost. Last night and yesterday at the men's retreat, and what an awesome time we had together, and just a wonderful, wonderful time of renewal. It was a time of renewal, and it was so much fun. It was so awesome, and the food was not so bad. I got to tell you, it was good. Yeah. And so, what an awesome time we had. So I pray that all you guys were blessed over the weekend and that you were able to experience God afresh and anew. And that is bringing us into our theme for this month, Soar Like an Eagle. Hallelujah. You like that? Yeah. Praise God. Yeah, I want to get one of those jet packs. You see that? I want to try that. Hey, go ahead. That was kind of cool. I don't know if I would be flying around an airplane, though, like that. You know, it just didn't seem like it was safe. But nevertheless, God does give us new life, and he gives us new experiences. And the eagle is really an amazing example of just what the Christian life is like. And God does. He gives us a new life with new birth. When we receive Christ, we're all familiar of the importance of being born again, as Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3. He must be born again. And that is because life comes from God. The life of the Spirit comes from God. Life of the flesh is through humanity and the creative work that God set into motion. But eternal life comes from God. And that working that is in us can only be brought to fruition and effectiveness by the Spirit of God. We know that Satan beguiled Eve in the garden, and Adam was complacent and just henpecked as he was, went along with it. Can you say that? I don't know. Should I? Is that right? Yeah. My wife's giving me funny looks now. That wasn't in the script. But, and so, jeez. But, you know, we know that as a result, Satan was able to take the authority that God gave to Adam, and now Satan has all of that power and authority to himself. And he now is the prince and the power of the air, the word of God says. And because he is now the ruling authority in the air, in the world, regarding the spirit of mankind, Jesus had to come in order to take back what the devil stole, not from him, stole from Adam. Hallelujah. Essentially stole from us. And when we come to Christ, we're taking it back. And God says, I'm going to give you new life. I'm going to breathe into you. I'm going to give you a new spirit. You're going to come alive. And that is why we say, Lord, fill us with your spirit. Because it is the Spirit of God that will last forever. And God enables us to soar like an eagle. And that is powerful, because as we have these experiences in God, it's the testimony that he gives us so that we can have these experiences. That's the and behold of God. It's like you don't know how it's going to work out. You don't understand what's going to happen, but something happens because God causes it to happen in a way that you wouldn't even expect. And God says, behold. And you're like, whoa, how in the world did that happen? God, what did you do? And what does that lead to? Proclaim and magnify the Lord. You just want to glorify God. You want to praise God, because the more you see that of the things that he does, the more you want to praise God. But if you don't see it, you're not going to want to praise God. You're going to be going, oh, how am I going to make it? How's this going to work? But when God reveals it, it changes everything. It leads to praising and worshiping God. It leads to new life in Christ, and it enables us to be able to be lifted up. Can you tell the world is a downer? It's a down place. That's what it does. It pulls people down. And that's why people take to drugs and alcohol and all these downing things that I never understood. That brings you down even more. And in order to try to mask or cover, and they try to make it seem like it's so much fun, it's so awesome, it's so wonderful, until you get cirrhosis of the liver. And all of a sudden, life isn't so much fun anymore. And you realize, wait a minute, this didn't work. It seemed like it was good for a little while, but it ran out. But the life that God gives just keeps building. And it just gets better and better and better. And we persevere in the Lord. And the more God shows us, the more we are able to appreciate him. And so that leads me to today's question, which is, do you ever wonder why eagles don't flap their wings as much as other birds? Why they are known as soaring birds? Why they soar? Well, I tell you, it's by divine design. God created them that way. And we're going to look at that a little bit more in just a moment. In Psalm 103:5, it says, who satisfies, talking about the Lord, who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Wow. One of the things that God does is he makes good things happen in our life. He brings about good things. Evil is already here. And the world is asking the question, where is God in the midst of all the evil? But God is not the source of the evil. He is the remedy to the problem. And he brings good things into our lives. The good things that we experience, they come from God. Every good and perfect gift, every good and perfect gift comes from above, the Word of God says. That means the fact that there's any good at all, it's because of God. And that is something we have to recognize and appreciate. And it's for the very purpose of renewing us. Hallelujah. Giving us something we otherwise wouldn't have. And so I'd like to use as a theme today, soar or be sore. Wait a minute. I think that got spelled wrong. That must have been a spell check. S-O-R-E. Yeah. All right, we'll fix it. Soar or be sore. Hallelujah. But you get it, right? Yeah. And so, well, are you ready for the word of the Lord today? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. And we ask, Heavenly Father, that you would help us, Lord God, to soar. That we would be able to be lifted up, Lord. That we would be able to fly above all the things pertaining to life in the earth and be able to experience life from your perspective in the way that you've designed us to live and to function so that we can have a great life. We're thankful for all these things, Lord. Continue to mold us, shape us, help us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, the eagle is a powerful bird. I mean, they are amazing birds. Did you know that the wingspan of an eagle, on average, is around 6 feet wide and can be as big as 9 feet wide? That is a big bird. Not big bird, but it's a big bird. His beak is yellow, but he's not yellow. The eagle has a huge, massive wingspan, and it is one of the most powerful birds in the world. And it is amazing to be able to realize just how strong these birds are. And they're hard to get a hold of. They're hard to catch. But I tell you, God uses them over and over in the scripture as an example as to his glory, his power, and his majesty. God uses the eagle to demonstrate the awesomeness of God. The eagle is a very strong bird, and he is powerful enough, strong enough, that he can lift, yes, outrageously heavy objects. You would be surprised at how much an eagle can lift. Yes, he can lift a deer. Hallelujah. And that's because his talons are so sharp and so long that he grabs into the skin, into the meat, and grabs, and they become like hooks, and they don't let go. Imagine 6 to 9 foot wingspan. That's like a pterodactyl almost, right? Isn't it? Like a, huge, and it can pick up huge objects. And the eagle is not just your average bird, but it is a bird that is designed by God for awesome and amazing flight and the ability to survive. And it hunts at least once a week to find a meal. Has to eat once a week. Well, if you get a deer, I guess he could eat for a while off of that, right? God designed the eagle. He designed the eagle to be able to survive, but to survive in a majestic manner, to be able to thrive, to be able to accomplish great things, things that you would not even expect the eagle to be able to accomplish. This is what God is able to do in your life and in mine. We look at ourselves and we say, I'm not much of anything beyond anybody else. I'm no better than everybody else. But God says, no, you are uniquely designed. You are uniquely designed. There is a reason God made you the person that you are, the personality that you have, the skills that you have, the way you see things and perceive things. God designed you that way. And it's intentional because God has a purpose for you. Otherwise, you'd probably have been born in some other time period in history if God didn't have a plan for you in this day and age. And we could have all been easily born in different times. But I think we appreciate the time that we're in, no matter how hard and difficult it may be. No matter how crazy and insane it might be, we still would not want to be, certainly not behind us. We don't want to go back. Amen, that's for sure. We don't even know about going forward unless we go all the way forward till we get into the presence of the Lord. That's where we really want to be. Let's skip over all the nonsense. And so here in Isaiah 40, our lead passage for today, it says, "Do you not know, and have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable." Hallelujah. God is an awesome God. He has created, it says, the ends of the earth. That doesn't mean the earth is flat. It's not what the Bible is saying. But it's saying that all of creation God created, the heavens and the earth, all of it, God created it. And it is inscrutable, these things that God has done. Do you know what that word? I see people looking it up, like, inscrutable. It means that you can't figure it out. It's uncomprehensible. There's no way to really grab it. It's inscrutable. And so we can't figure God out. We can't figure God out. We can't figure out his ways. We can't figure out what he's doing or where he's going. Judge Judy would say, don't try to figure out what I'm doing. Right? Don't try to figure me out. Just answer my questions. And saints of God, we can't try to figure God out. We just have to obey his word. We just do what God says to do. We just trust him. And we understand that if he could create all that we even know and all that exists, how do you figure out the mind of God? There's no way. He's inscrutable. He goes on in verse 29 and says, he gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. He increases power. In other words, whenever we are going through life and going through situations and circumstances, if we are looking to represent the kingdom of God and the things of God, we might feel like we can't keep it going. We can't do it. God will give us strength. So often, as you're involved in ministry or doing the things of God, or even, you know, your daily routine, going to work, and, you know, even work is a ministry, by the way. I figure I better say that. When you go to work on your job, whatever that is a place of ministry. It is the place God called you to go in order to testify of him, to be a witness for the sake of the kingdom of God. It is the place where you bring in the presence of God and you represent God in that place. And so that is your responsibility. And that is what we do wherever we go. And when you're a student and you're in school, you represent the kingdom of God in that school. And a lot of people complain about schools, but the problem really isn't the schools, because the devil is there and he does what the devil does. The same thing is true of the Christians. The Christians are there, but the problem is the Christians don't do what Christians are supposed to do. Therefore, it looks like the devil has the power. But God is the one who has the power. God is the one who has the authority. And when we begin to recognize who we are and what is available to us as the people of God, we can call upon his name and he will respond to us. But it requires us to walk in the ways of the Lord. It requires us to remember who he is and to allow his word and his spirit to give us the wisdom and the strength we need to keep going. Don't get weary. Don't get tired. God will give you strength when you walk with him. And it says, and to him who lacks might, if you don't have the strength, it says he increases your power. Hallelujah. I love that. God will give you an increase of power. Instead of saying, oh, I'm tired. Oh, I can't keep doing what God is calling me to do. It's too much. Why don't we pray, God, increase my power. Lord, bring an increase of power and strength in my life. But when the word of God is not dwelling in your mind, it's easy to focus on what you don't have rather than draw upon the resources that you actually do have. Over and over again, God says he will give you strength. He will give you strength. Strength to the weary. And to him who lacks might, he increases power. Hallelujah. Don't ever forget that. Whenever you operate in the strength and in the wisdom and the power of God, you're like the Energizer Bunny. Oh, you'll be able to go and go and go and go and go and go. I never hear anybody say, you know, I'm just tired of sin. I need a break. I'm just going to do some righteousness now. Yeah, I need to get free of this. No, that's not what they do. They're energized in their evilness, in their darkness. They keep going. Some people enjoy it so much they increase in the level of evil that they do. That's the way it works, because there's a God on each side. There's a God of light, and there's a God of darkness. And Satan is the God of darkness, and he gives strength to those who continue in darkness. The Bible calls that the reprobate mind. He gives people over to a reprobate mind, and they continue on in the way of darkness, and their level of darkness, it increases over time. And that's why when you get into a bad thing, or you get around bad people or the wrong influences, it doesn't get better, it gets worse for you. You go deeper and down into the darkness, into the pits of hell, because you're under satanic influence. And I know we're in a modern day and age, and everybody's like, oh, no, no. Oh, I don't know about that. People, they just have an ism. You know, they have some kind of phobia, or they have some kind of, they got a demon. Hallelujah. Demons were everywhere in Jesus' day. People were coming all up out of all kinds of places. Families were bringing their kids to Jesus to cast demons out of them. They had all kinds of demonizing issues throughout the whole season of history that Jesus represents. And then suddenly, oh, it just all went away. Poof, what did all the demons get on a rocket ship somewhere and fly away? They just left the planet? Is that what you think happened? Yeah. Yeah, no, they didn't. They're still here. And they're still working in people and through people. Hallelujah. You don't think there's a spirit in Russia right now? Oh. Let me tell you something. Demons are real. And they are all around us. And people are under demonic influence. Everybody who does not come to the light of Christ is under demonic influence. Some people are even possessed by the devil. And don't think for 1 minute that that is not true. It is absolutely true. And we see it over and over again. And I tell you, there's a lot of people who are like agents in the Matrix. 1 minute, their grandma chopping vegetables in the kitchen. And the next thing you know, they're Agent Smith. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Oh, I know you've seen people change like that, flip on a script. And you're like, wait a minute, whoa. Where's that coming from? What happened to you? Oh, yes. Oh, yes, 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 Jesus. Oh, it is real. But God says, I will increase your strength when you're weary. I will increase your power when you lack might. Don't underestimate the power of God and God's ability to enable you to overcome. Verse 30 says, though youths, young people, grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait, hallelujah. Oh, I know you like this verse. This is a very popular verse, right? Probably one of the most popular verses in Isaiah. He says, yet those who wait for the Lord, and I have this broken down because I wanted you to see the definition of this. The word for wait, it's to be twisted or to be wound up. You know those little springs that, you know how you like, they have like toys where you crank them up, you crank them up, you crank them up. We used to have these little cars that you would kind of, when you had the spring wheels and you would pull it back on the ground, and then it would tighten up the spring. And when you let it go, it would go, and it would launch, and it would just go right across the, this would be a really cool place to, but anyway. You know, and it would just like launch out there going across. Well, that's what this is. It's the anticipation. It's God says when you wait on the Lord, he builds your anticipation. There's this expectation that begins to build up as you're looking to God, as you're calling on God to make a way for you, to show you what your next move will be. He says you will gain or you will change states. It's a change of state of mind. The more you wait on God, your anticipation will rise up, your zeal will begin to rise up, and all of a sudden you'll begin to become excited for what is God going to do. And you will sense that something is about to happen. You'll feel the tension of anticipation as it builds. And it says that you will be able to obtain, you will get new strength. All of a sudden, you might have been like, oh, like feeling like you were lacking strength or energy. And then all of a sudden, now you've got this power behind you that's wanting to push you forward. And sometimes we jump too quickly, right? We're so excited. Oh, yeah, Lord wants me to, I'm going to launch into this. But God's like, wait. Hold on. I know you feel the anticipation. He says, hang on and wait. And when you wait on God, he changes your state from one where you're not sure or you're not wondering what to do to one where you're ready to just launch. But at the same time, God gives you new strength. The word for new strength there is a word that it's the word that's used to represent a brick wall or like a rock wall that has been established as a barrier to keep enemies out. So it's the strength that a wall has against an enemy. So when you're waiting on God, you're gaining strength. You're becoming more fortified in your position. And so now you're ready to move forward, but at the same time, whatever is coming against you, you have the strength to resist it. It can hit you, but because you're pulled back in the tension of the Spirit of God has got you. You're grounded. You're rooted. So no matter what anybody says, no matter what anybody does, you're able to resist it. You're able to take it, and it just breaks off of you. And you're able to make a stand. It's the same picture that's in Ephesians 6 when he says, having done all to stand, stand therefore. It's the idea that you're rooted. You have a foundation that is rooted deep, and that the wall is being built up so that no matter what comes against you, it cannot prosper. God sustains you. That's the stone wall of resistance that keeps you when you're attacked. When the enemy comes against you, you have to be wound up in God. And this is why the devil, he tries to catch you when you're dry, when you're run down, when you're like all out of sorts. Your focus is in the wrong place. You're thinking about the wrong things, or, you know, you got so many problems and issues that you're not even considering the Lord. God is kind of somewhere in the background. He says, oh, this is a good time to strike when they're weak. And God says, no, you should be pulled back with ready anticipation, expecting God. As soon as trouble comes, as soon as issues come, we cry out to God and we ask God to fortify us, pull us back. Lord, bring me into a position where I'm ready to launch forward and I have the anchored strength of a brick wall to resist this thing that seems to be overwhelming me and trying to bring me down. But God, I'm holding on and I'm trusting in you. Oh, hallelujah. God pulls us and he holds us and he sustains us. And then it says he mounts us up with wings like eagles. In other words, before you had those little birdie wings, right? I'm just trying to get by in the name of the Lord. I'm trying to make it. Oh, Lord, have mercy. God says, no. Pull back. Pull back and allow the Spirit of God to breathe into you. Allow the Word of God to renew your mind and your strength in God. God will fortify you. And those little birdie wings will start to... And they will stretch out. You will mount up with wings like an eagle. Hallelujah. I love that. I brought this stick over here. You see this? Hallelujah. I didn't have time to make a whole wing. But Gina or... So you got the wings. This is 8 feet. So that's right in the middle between, I guess, 6 and 9 somewhere. Could you imagine? Here are the wings. Here they are. The wings, God says, it says, He will sprout you new wings. You didn't, it's not the idea that you already had wings. It says, no, you're getting wings that you did not have. All of this is a resource you otherwise would not have. But because you pull back, because of the weight on the Lord, because you are able to hold on and not just go out and let it overwhelm you or overtake you, not just launch into something, you waited on God. God says, I sprout you new wings. Oh, now. Oh, look, I can run. Woo! I can run. Yeah! Hey, I can run. Woo! I need a better stick. I got wings. I'm adding up with new ones now. Hallelujah. God will give you new wings. Says you will run and not get tired. Hallelujah. You will run and not get tired. You can run and run and run. Says you can walk and you won't be weary. Now I got walking sticks. From wings to walking stick. God can change your situation. He can change your circumstances. He is able to change your life completely so that it is totally new. It's the unexpected. God will give you new wings. You may not have them. You say, Lord, I can't fly. I can't deal with this. I can't handle it. God says, whoop. He will sprout you new wings. Wings like an eagle that will enable you to overcome. This is God's design, saints of God. This is God's design. This isn't Big Bang. This isn't something that just randomly happened. No. How many times did something have to bang or creepy crawl up out of the sea? Right? Well, the first one came out, and I guess it became something. But then another one must have happened somewhere in order to become something else. Wait a minute. I guess you have to have a brain to realize that that doesn't even make any sense at all. But yet people believe it. Because they say it over and over again. They tell you everywhere you go that this stuff just happened randomly. I heard one scientist say the odds of random chance being real is the same prediction that would bring out a hand grenade from a junkyard or a Cadillac from a junkyard by throwing a hand grenade into the midst of the junky parts. The hand grenade will blow up. And out pops a brand new car. Poof. In fact, the odds are better that that would happen than random chance. And saints of God, God designed this stuff. There's intricate detail in everything that God created. And we can trust Him to allow Him to work in us and to apply these principles in our life. It doesn't mean that we're not going to have trouble. It doesn't mean we're not going to have hardships and have problems. It doesn't mean that we won't have to deal with sickness and all kinds of stuff. But what it means is that God has a plan to see us through it. God has the ability to give us what we need to overcome the strategies of the enemy. And God will make a way. But you have to be able to see it. You see, eagles, they have these great wings, right? Better than mine. They last longer. And they soar. Now, in order for an eagle to soar, before I talk about this, it's important for us to understand that the way eagles soar is because there is the heat from the sun that comes down and it creates, I forget the exact terminology, but there's this this heat wave, essentially, is what it is, that comes down and it reflects off the earth, off the ground, and it bounces up. It's somehow they're sensitive to the heat as it comes out. So when the wind blows, as the wind blows, it reacts with this heat. There's some type of reaction that takes place that causes an updraft, and then the eagle is sensitive to this and knows how to navigate it. Oh, yes. Well, thank you there, doll. She brought me a new one. Yes. Now. Ha, 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 ha. All right. Maybe I should put this down. I'll be back. And so this wind gust that comes up enables the eagle to soar, and their wingspan is so massive, so powerful, that they're able to, it just scoops them up. And the difference between the eagle and other soaring birds and birds that flap their wings all the time is the fact that the eagle's wings, the bone structure in the eagle, is a lot stronger than the bones in the other birds, even the other big birds. In fact, Pastor Michal brought out the point yesterday that the crows, they tend to antagonize the eagles, and they like to, I guess, you know, they like to be like Heckle and Jekyll, I guess. And so, wow, okay. Anyway, So what the eagle does in order to shake off these other birds is it doesn't try to fight them while they're soaring in the air, but they just continues to rise up. They just fly higher. And I was like, man, that'll preach, brother. Hallelujah. Because when the devil shows up to antagonize you, to harass you, you don't have to go down to his level to give him a better footing. Just fly higher. Fly higher. Sooner or later, the air is too thin for the other birds, and they can't go but so high because they can't breathe. And so they have to let go, and they come back down. But the eagle has the ability to soar above the clouds, where if there are storm clouds flowing, they're able to even go above the storm clouds to where the sun is shining. Hallelujah. Have you ever been in a plane? And you start out raining and you take off, but when you get up 30,000 feet, you're above the clouds and the sun is out. It's like you would never know that there was a rainstorm underneath you. That's what the eagle has the ability to do. And saints of God, this is what we have to do. We have to learn how to lose the devils, shake them off by soaring higher. Just soar higher. Oh, they may add a little extra weight to you, but that's okay. You keep pressing on. You keep persevering in God. And the higher the eagle goes, the more he leaves everything and everyone else behind. But it's not just the fact that he has the ability to soar high, but the eagle has keen eyesight. What's the point in being able to go high up if you can't see anything after you get up there? Because the eagle has to be able to see what's on the ground. And so it has what's known as a monocular and binocular vision, which means it can use one eye or both eyes depending on where it's looking. And it has the ability to use one eye to look over here and another eye to look over there. And he's kind of like, and he can see everything that's going on. That's pretty wild, isn't it? It's kind of spooky, actually. It's kind of scary. And so they're able to use their eyes independently or together, and they're able to be able to see things that other animals or things cannot see. The eagle has two basic focal points, and he's essentially able to look forward and to the side at the same time. That is wild. You ever try that? Yeah. I tried it. Yeah, it's kind of really hard. But the eagle can do it. So there's no sneaking up on the eagle. And eagles can see in every direction at the same time. This is another divine design. You see, God designs these things so that he can be glorified, so that we can have an example. This stuff isn't random. It's not by chance. This randomly happens. God designed this. And if he designed this level of detail in birds, in insects, in other animals, how much more when he says you and I are made in his likeness? Wow, there's more to us than we even realize. Absolutely. I guarantee you there is more to us, there's more to you than you realize. You are not just this simple creature trying to survive the life that men in darkness created. God has a purpose and he has a plan. He has a powerful life experience for us so that you and I can represent the kingdom of God. And that is why we're born again. The eagle goes through the born again experience. He flies up, he gets alone and pecks off his own beak because it gets curved as he gets old. And then he has to pluck out his old feathers because they get matted against him. And then he plucks out his fingernails or his talons. He plucks them out so that new ones can grow back because they're not strong enough and they're not able to grab on and catch the prey that he needs for food. Saints of God, that's what God is trying to do with us. He's giving us new life. That's why Jesus said you must be born from above, born of the Spirit. Because otherwise we're going to operate in the flesh according to our human limitations. God is saying there's so much more depth to you. There's so much more power available to you. There's more strength available to you. There is an anointing that God wants to impart to us and wants to cultivate in us and rise up in us that will give us strength so we will be able to rise above every situation so that we can see and perceive from God's perspective. An eagle can see up to 3 miles away a rabbit running on the ground in a forest. Saints of God, if God can do that with an eagle, what about you and I? You and I have the ability to see and perceive things when we are walking in God, when we are trusting in the Lord, not just saying, "Oh, I have faith in God." No. This is applying the principles of God and his word in your life. We're gathering together so that we can learn how to apply these principles so that the strength of God can be imparted to us. The anointing of God. You have power available to you. God says, if you walk with him, if you commune with him, you can ask what you will, and he will give it to you. It's time for us to start applying the word of God and stop listening to people who are telling you this stuff doesn't exist, or that it's not real, or that it was only for the disciples, or that it was... No, it's a divine design. It was given to us during creation. God established it and ratified it through the new birth that we experience through Christ. Jesus didn't have limitations. He didn't let people tell him, "Oh, well, no man can do that." Jesus said, "Yeah, give me 5 loaves and 2 fish. I'll show you what we can do." He said, "What do you mean?" He says, "Here, take this spit and we're going to put it on your eyes. Go dip and wash in the pool. In the river." He says, "I'll show you what we can do. What else can't we do? What else shouldn't I do?" God says, "Nothing is impossible to him that believes." Nothing is impossible to him that believes. This is by divine design. Saints of God, You are being deceived into thinking that you are not made to see and to hear and to overcome. You're listening to the wrong voices and the wrong message. You're listening to people who are powerless with no experience and no understanding, trying to tell you how to live in a way that God says you ought to live. Rise up, saints of God. I submit to you, choose you this day whom you will believe. The word of God. Whose report will you believe? There's 10 spies telling you all different kinds of reasons why you can't be effective as a child of God and why the word of God doesn't apply or doesn't work for you. But there are two that bear witness. The word and the spirit. Hallelujah. The word and the spirit. And I would submit to you that I would take their word over every other theologian, every other man, every other person, every other idea, every thought. I would take it captive and I would bring it down and I would not allow it to exalt itself in my life over the word of truth. The psalmist says, verse 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. Saints of God, believe God. Believe God. Trust God. Don't let anyone rob you of your faith in God. Don't let anyone deceive you into thinking you don't have what you need or what it takes. God is your strength. The word of God speaks plainly these things. You don't need a theologian to figure it out. It says it clearly. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Oh, don't let your soul, not your mind, not your head, your soul, the essence of who you are, forget the benefits of serving God, of walking with God. Allow God to build your strength. Allow God to rise up in the midst of you. Allow God to strengthen you. He will equip you in ways that you may not even have right now. But he will bring things to pass. And we have to learn how to trust in the Lord. He says, the Lord, he who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things. Hallelujah. Why? So that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I don't know about you, but that sounds like when you're old, you get new strength. The latter part of the eagle's life, the second half, the additional 30 years, is greater than the first 40 or so years because they have new strength. The word there for new strength is that it's strength that did not exist before. But now, in addition to what he had, you get more strength. You get even more strength. God is adding on to what you already have. It's an addition equation. God says, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so in Acts 2:1-2, it says, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. That is the wind, that is the updraft of the Spirit of God that comes and it lifts you up, it scoops you up. And it enables you to soar. Now you have a different perspective. You have a different life experience. Now you're having a whole new in strengthening and empowerment by the Spirit of God. Oh, hallelujah. Saints of God, this is New Testament teaching. You need to be strengthened by the Spirit of God. the wind of the Spirit, the wind of the eagle. It is the word that comes from the word Spirit. Hallelujah. It is the Ruah of God. It's the Ruah of God. And that is the breath. God breathes on us. He breathes into us. And he gives us life. It's life perpetuating life. It's Zoe life. It's life that does not end because God does not end. And the wind of the Spirit, is imparted to us, and it strengthens us, and it lifts you up. Hallelujah. Anything that's not lifting you up is obviously going to be holding you down or keeping you down or even pulling you down. And that is not of God. And so you need the wind of the Spirit. It's by design. It's by divine design. God designed it to be this way. In Ephesians 2, 5 to 7, it says, "And when we were dead in our transgressions, we made us alive together with Christ. By grace, we have been saved. And raises us up." Hallelujah. See that? Notice it doesn't say, well, he holds you down because, you know, you're a terrible sinner. You made too many mistakes because you're just in a lost condition. No, God is reversing all that. This is the whole reason why Christ came. Why would Christ come and then hold sin against you after he suffered and died and paid all the price to cover your sin? Now he's going to put it back on you or hold you accountable? No, he's looking beyond all that. He's saying, I've redeemed you from the hand of the enemy, and now you are belonging to him. You are being reborn. He's breathing the breath of life into you, the Spirit of God into you, himself into you. He is raising you up. Hallelujah. He's raising you up, and he's seating you with him in the heavenly places. Where do you think Jesus is sitting? Some plastic chair in some cheap restaurant somewhere? No, he's sitting on the throne. Hallelujah. The place of authority and empowerment. That's where Christ is. It says he's at the right hand of the Father. Where is the Father sitting? In some easy chair somewhere relaxing? No, he's on his throne. He is watching over all that he has created, and nothing gets by him. He never sleeps and he never slumbers. It says so that in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his glory, of his grace, and in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. You see that? It's kindness towards us. Kindness towards us. Are we going to make mistakes? Yes. Are we going to sin? Yes. Are we going to make? But Christ says, it's okay. I've already covered that. I am going to lift you up. And instead of trying to hold you down, he says, I'm just going to have to take you a little bit higher. And he will keep taking you higher and higher until the devil has to let go. And he has to let you free. And he will fall by the wayside, and you will soar, and you will be able to look down, and you'll see whatever it is that you need to see, and you'll perceive whatever it is you need to perceive so that God can be glorified, so that God can be lifted up. Every need will be met. All the things that you need to achieve the things of God, the will of God, will be made available to you. That is why the psalmist is saying, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Hallelujah. Oh, saints of God, let's soar together. Soar like the eagle. Allow the Spirit. Oh, look at that. Oh, wow, we're in trouble now. Oh, yes. We want to soar like an eagle. Yeah, hallelujah. Woo! Oh, yes, Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God has called us to rise up. To rise up. No matter what our situations are, No matter what our circumstances are, God has the ability to take you higher. Don't allow the enemy to hold you down. Let's soar so that we don't have to be sore. Soar or be sore. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's sing that song. Jesus will hold me in my promise. God, what the devil stole from me.
I'm reaping the harvest God promised me. Take back what the devil stole from me. I'm reaping the harvest God promised me. Take back what the devil stole from me.
I will rejoice today, for I shall recover.
Allow the enemy to have you flapping through life. Oh, you ever see those little birds? They're flapping, man. They're like, oh, they're just trying to make it. They're just trying to get away. I had a hawk in my yard, and there was a little bird that flew out of a tree, and he was flapping. He's trying to get away. Hawk came down and grabbed him right out of the air and took him up into the air, scooped him, took him away. I said, oh, Jesus, God. I started repenting for my sins. I said, Lord, have mercy. Oh, God, I don't want, Lord, please, Lord, that was a terrible experience. I was like, oh, Lord, I was like, okay, God, what are you saying? You know? Hallelujah. But God will give you power like a soaring bird. You'll be able to soar, and you will be able to experience divine provision. God will make a way for you. God will. Trust him today. Know that he is able to see you through. He can do more than you could ever ask or imagine. Trust him today. Receive Christ if you haven't received him. Ask God to transform your life, to give you new life, so that you can be the person you were designed to be, the person that God has called you to be, so that his glory can be lifted up in your life. You will see things that you never saw before. And you will be able to accomplish things that you would never even think you could accomplish, because God will make a way. He will open doors, and he will do amazing things that will transform your life. And you will see, despite the evil all around us, God will lift you up and make a way for you. And where others fail and where others are pulled down, God will raise you up and enable you to overcome every obstacle and every hindrance that comes against you, because the Lord your God is with you, and he will never leave you nor forsake you, but he's with you always, even to the end of the age. Christ will return one day, and it may not be too soon or too long from now, but it might be sooner than you think. And so don't put him off, but receive him and allow him to begin to do a new thing in your life, in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. And we ask, God, that you would come alive in the midst of us, that you would enable us to overcome the obstacles and the challenges that life brings our way. Give us the right mindset so that we would be the people you called us to be, that your glory would fill our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, and we thank you, oh God. Amen. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Oh, he is.
Faithful. Oh, faithful. Faithful.
Holy. Hallelujah. Holy.
Holy. Hallelujah. Holy. Holy.
Jesus.